Well, first of all, let me just say welcome. If this is your first time with us, I hope you have a great morning and you've picked a great day to be here. What a wonderful day, because Easter or Resurrection Sunday is absolutely the most wonderful celebration, because it is all about the victory of Jesus. It is a wonderful celebration of life conquering death. So that's why this morning I'm going to start off by talking about death. Or rather, I'm going to talk about some dead people. What better way is there to start a celebration of life than to talk about some dead people? And I'm going to be talking about some specific dead people, because we're going to be looking at what Jesus did when Jesus was around death, and what Jesus still does when Jesus is around death. So this morning, I'm not trying to be morbid. We're going to be talking about some dead people that good things happen to. You know, normally when we die, that's it. It's happened once, and there's no going back. But Jesus is someone who changes what normally happens and brings the miraculous to life. You know, when Jesus walked to the earth 2,000 years ago, Jesus did a great many miracles. And people were absolutely amazed by the things that Jesus did. The very first miracle of Jesus that's recorded was that he took gallons of water and turned it into wine at a wedding party. Now that seems amazing in itself. But that was just the start. It was just a glimpse of what was to come. Jesus walked on the water. He commanded a storm to be quiet, and the storm obeyed. He multiplied a couple of fish and loaves of bread and fed over 5,000 people with them. He healed the sick. That included the blind, the lame, and even people with that horrible disease, leprosy. Nobody had ever seen anything like this before. Let me tell you, when Jesus was coming to town, people got excited. Don't let anyone ever tell you that being a Christian is boring, because we are connected to the most exciting person who has ever lived. Maybe some Christians are boring, but let me tell you, Christianity is not. You did not have to tell anybody at the time that Jesus was exciting, because people knew it. But what really astounds me, above all of those miracles, is what happens when Jesus encountered dead people. And we're going to look this morning at three dead people. On Good Friday, we looked at three crosses. This morning, we're going to look at three dead people. And the first one can be found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 35 to 43. And let me just give you a run-up to this event before we read it. One day, Jesus was teaching a huge crowd of people, and a man comes to meet him. That's okay, you can clear that just for a moment. This man is called Jairus, and he is one of the rulers of the local synagogues, which is where the Jews worshipped. So this man, this influential man, comes to see Jesus and asks him for help. In fact, he begs him for help. See, Jairus' daughter was really ill. He describes her as at the point of death. And he is desperate for Jesus to come and pray for her. He has heard the miracles that Jesus has done and believes that Jesus can stop his daughter from dying, that he can heal her. So Jesus goes with him, but on the way, they're interrupted. They're interrupted by a woman who wants to be healed. And a large crowd begins to form around Jesus, and they get delayed from getting there. And I'm going to read from that point, which is in Mark 5, 35 to 43. While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him, except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue. And Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. And he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumai," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know of this and told them to give her something to eat. So the commotion that took place causes Jesus to arrive what seems to be too late. People came out of this guy's house and pretty much said, "Don't bother Jesus anymore with this. It's too late. The girl's gone." And Jesus gives such an amazing answer to what they say. He doesn't say, "I'll come and raise her from the dead." He doesn't say, "Are you sure she's dead?" He just says, "Do not fear. Only believe." What a response. I don't know how Jairus would have reacted to this, but what a response in the middle of a trauma, in the middle of the worst time in this guy's life. "Do not fear. Only believe." They thought Jesus was too late. Let me tell you, Jesus is never too late. Today is not too late for you. No matter what has happened in your life, no matter what you've done, no matter what you've gone through, let me tell you, today is not too late because you're here. And Jesus goes to the house and everyone is crying and weeping. You can imagine this whole place has just been turned upside down. And Jesus walks into the middle of all of this and he says, "What's all the fuss about? She's not dead. She's asleep." Now, they may not have had the health service we have, but they knew the difference between dead and asleep. In fact, I would say chances are a lot more people back then were around a lot more dead people than we ever will be. They knew what dead looked like. Not a mistake you'd make. So they laugh at Jesus. Now, given the circumstances of what's going on in the house right now, laughter seems a little bit insensitive to me. But I'm guessing this is the laugh of somebody who's in despair. This is a laugh of someone who's upset. So Jesus clears the room. He gets them out of there. Aside from Jairus and his wife and the disciples who'd come with him. Can you imagine what Jairus is thinking at this point? What's happening? Can I not just be alone to grieve right now? And then this little girl is raised from the dead. "Arise," he tells her, and life comes back into her body. Jesus walks into the middle of a wake, and he turns it into a party. He walks into the middle of a time of despair, of anguish, and he completely turns it on its head. Suddenly, what was down there is up there. He turns it into a celebration. Let me tell you, you can be right down there. Jesus can turn it to up there just like that. This little girl was dead. She was lost. And then she's alive. And not only that, she's hungry. Jesus says, "Feed her." You know what? Maybe dying gives you an appetite. Can you imagine how stunned people would have been in that room? Can you imagine the excitement in that room? You'd want to tell everybody, wouldn't you? You'd want to get out of that room, first chance you got, and say, "Come and see what Jesus has done." But Jesus says, "Uh-uh, keep this quiet. I don't want you telling anybody about this. Don't say anything to anyone." That would have been pretty hard to do. I'd have been looking for the opportunity. But you see, Jesus did not do this for publicity. You know, some people really want to work in the gift of healing for publicity and for themselves, so they get a name. Jesus wasn't interested in that. He said, keep this quiet. He didn't do it for publicity. He did it out of compassion. He did it because he was moved. He saw suffering and he saw death and he brought life. And you know, he still does. And he still does it for the exact same reason. Let me tell you, I don't know what anybody in this room is going through, but he sees your suffering. He sees your hurt. Let me tell you, he's moved by it. He cares. And he wants to turn the sadness into excitement and fresh, brand new life. Jesus is not uncaring and distant. Let all the other gods be like that. Jesus isn't like that. God became a man to identify with us. Let me tell you, Jesus knows sadness. He knows pain. And he cares. He cares. In the middle of despair and death, Jesus came with life and celebration. There was another time Jesus raised somebody from the dead, and this one's much more well known. Because this one wasn't quiet. This one was public. And as a result, a lot more controversial. Jesus received word that his good friend Lazarus was ill. Then 2 days later, before Jesus had got to Bethany where Lazarus lived, further word came that Lazarus had died. So Jesus goes to see Lazarus' family and even weeps with them over this man's death. And people started doing what people always do, and they begin talking, muttering, and saying, you know what, if Jesus had come back quicker, he'd have prevented this. Why was he late? Typical, eh? That's people for you. Bear in mind, of course, everybody knew Jesus healed, but the incident with Jairus' daughter was not common knowledge at this point. Some of his disciples knew about it. But Jesus asked everybody else in the room, you don't mention this. So while Lazarus was alive, people had hope. But now he's dead. That hope's died with him. It's then, 4 days after Lazarus has been dead, that Jesus visits his tomb. We can read that in John 11, 38 to 44. Then Jesus, deeply moved again, see he cares, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone laid against it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead for 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Here's a prayer. Jesus, I thank you. You've heard me. I know you always hear me, but I said this on the account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you have sent me. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. That word's in there again, you know. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? You know, Jesus says a great prayer. He pretty much says, Father, we've already talked about this, but I'm asking you now so that those who are listening can hear, that they might believe. See, Jesus was always wanting people to believe. To believe that the Father sent him. Let me tell you, that's not changed. He wants you to believe. When you believe, things change. And they opened up his tomb. with a stone laid against it, even though he's warned by Martha about the smell. Because Lazarus has been dead for 4 days in a hot country in the Middle East. Do you know what happens to a body when it dies? This is what Martha was expecting when they opened the tomb. I don't want to get too graphic, because, you know, it's Sunday morning. But I do want to give you a picture of why Martha did not want that tomb opening. 2 to 6 hours after death, rigor mortis sets in. That usually lasts for about 24 hours. Starts on every muscle at the same time, but its effects more noticeable on the smaller ones, like those on the face, the neck, the arms and the shoulders. That's why sometimes you get a grin. The body is stiff for around about 36 to 48 hours, and Lazarus would have well passed this point at this time. Bodily extremities start to turn blue after about 8 to 12 hours without any intervention. Skin cells stop growing and die after 24 hours. By day 4, which is where we're up to, the bacteria and the enzymes in the body have already started to break that body down, and the skin turns a little green. Decomposition has already begun. And the smell would have started to get bad because the body's starting to fill up with gases from those enzymes. Can you understand why Martha said, "Don't open that"? And Jesus cries. I'm telling you that detail for a reason. We'll get to that. Jesus says, "Lazarus, come out." Yet when Lazarus walks out, he's wrapped up, but he is suffering none of those effects that happens to a body when a body dies. Lazarus did not come back green. He was raised and restored like that. Sorry. Like that. So Jesus gets the disciples to unbind him. Can you imagine taking those bandages off, not knowing what color he's going to be underneath? Not knowing what you'd see? But he was Lazarus. Fresh, alive, not green, not blue, not broken down, not full of gases, not wasted muscles, no pooled blood, no enzymes breaking his body down. He was fresh and he was alive. What a moment that must have been. And I tell you, this one was public. The word spread, and the word spread like wildfire, that Jesus has raised a man from the dead who was gone for 4 days. And he isn't green. Let me tell you, when Jesus moves, he doesn't just bring healing, but the effect of the problem goes. When you're set free from sin, let me tell you, you are set free. You don't come at Jesus and go, "Jesus, raise me, save me," and then have to go around being green the rest of your life. You don't have to deal with the effects and the smell of sin anymore. Sin doesn't have to follow you anymore. The rot that your life has been in doesn't have to be with you. It's gone. He doesn't just save you, he makes you new. Let me tell you, when we come to Jesus and we ask him to forgive us, we can't just say, "Well, okay, I've got all this baggage with me." No, no, no. He wants rid of that. He doesn't want you to go around stinking. He makes you new. Let me tell you, this event changed a lot of things. When Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, this event sparked a massive amount of interest in people coming to see Jesus, but also Lazarus. They wanted to see the guy who'd been dead for 4 days. It was also right after this event that the plot to kill Jesus began. I don't think that's a coincidence. Because Jesus had gone too far. This display was too much for some people. Perhaps that's one reason why raising Jairus' daughter was kept a little quieter. But here, the time was right. Because it was these events that would lead us right into the death of Jesus. He would be taken by the Romans and the Jewish authorities, and he would be crucified. And as we remembered 2 days ago, Jesus died, and Jesus was buried. But Jesus was going to bring another person from the dead back to life. Himself. Jesus would show us another resurrection. He would show us the world that he had completely broken, the power of death. And we can read about that in Luke 24, verses 1 to 12. But on the first day of the week at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in there, they did not find the body of Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground. The men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day, rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. On the third day, Jesus rose again. And when he rose again, let me tell you, it was different. He rose again in a way that no person ever had rose again before. The daughter of Jairus, she may well have lived a full life after her resurrection. But like all of us, she'd have got old. And eventually, she'd have died. Lazarus grew old and died. But Jesus, his resurrection was different. He rose in glory. He rose in power. And he ascended to the right hand of God the Father. And he will return in body to rule and reign. Let me tell you, his resurrection is what the Bible calls the first fruit, which means he was the first of many that are still to come. Because he rose again, there is coming a day where we will rise again, where we too will be raised in glory and power, and we shall reign with Jesus Christ forever. But did you know that you don't have to wait until you die to experience the resurrection in your life? There is a resurrection miracle available to you today. He brought back the daughter of Jairus and said, "Do not fear, only believe. Little girl, I say to you, arise." He brought back Lazarus to life, said, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Lazarus, come forth." You know, the BBC ran a poll last week on Palm Sunday. The BBC, also known as the British Bias Corporation, ran a poll on Palm Sunday, and it concluded that 23% of those who call themselves Christians do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead at all. That statistic is incorrect. I would agree with the reply given by Gavin Ashenden, the Queen's former chaplain, who said, "That can't be right, because you can't be a Christian if you don't believe in the resurrection." To be a Christian is to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised him from the dead on the third day. Now, I don't know what you call yourself if you don't believe that, but it's not a Christian. So the actual BBC poll reveals that 23% of people who think they're Christians are nothing of the sort. Jesus rose again on the third day. And he can bring us back from a state of death into a state of life. Now you might ask me, what do I mean by that? You might not feel very dead this morning. I was going to say some of you look it, but I don't mean that. I don't mean that. Sorry, I apologize for that. I'm not looking at anybody right now. You might not feel very dead this morning, but let me tell you, if Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life, if you have not come to Jesus, if you have not come back to the Father as the Bible describes, you are dead. Dead. And I understand if you don't like being called dead. I'm sure dead people don't like being called dead. But you're still dead. Ephesians 2 verses 1 to 7, it says this: "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working at work in the sons of disobedience, amongst whom we all once lived in the passion of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up, and seated with him," as Steve said, "in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus, so that in the coming age he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus." You know, there's something people very often misunderstand about the gospel. The Christian view of the world is not that they are good people and they are bad people. You do not need the gospel to turn you into a good person. And if you see yourself as a good person, it does not mean you're fine and in no need of Jesus. No, the miracle of salvation is more than turning a bad person into a good person. The gospel is the power to make dead people into alive people. Without the saving work of Jesus Christ, we are dead. We're dead in our sin, dead with any connection that we might have to God. Or we might be walking around and eating and talking and planning our future. Doesn't make us any less dead. Without Jesus, we're just the walking dead. Lost in our mistakes and selfishness. All of those things that the Bible calls sin. You might be breathing, but spiritually, you're dead. What a state we're in without him. Spiritually dead and rotting and turning green. Unable to see how far away from God we've actually gone. Let me tell you, spiritual death is a very serious condition. And when physical death comes, those who are spiritually dead face a death that brings with it eternal separation from God and all that's good. Let me tell you, it's not popular to talk about hell, but it's a very real place. And without Jesus, we are all on the express train to it. But even when we're in this desperate, tragic state, Jesus came to bring life. He wants to bring life because Jesus has compassion for you. Jesus said to Jairus when the news came about his daughter, "Do not fear, only believe." And that is my advice to anyone who doesn't know Jesus this Easter Sunday morning. I may have said you're dead, and we're all dead without him. But even though you're dead, do not fear, only believe. Because when you believe, it all changes. Some might think that they have no hope. Too far gone. You may have even started to turn green in a spiritual sense. The very idea that you can be brought back to life might make the people around you want to laugh, just as it did in the house of Jairus. But he can turn that laughter into amazement at what he's done in your life. Let me tell you, the people who laugh at the idea now will be astonished in the future when he sees what Jesus can do through you. It doesn't matter how far gone you think you are. The rot might be setting in. You may even think that if he did something to you now, if he brought you back to life, there's too much damage. I'm going to have to carry that damage around. The decay is too much. It's set in. Let me tell you, when Jesus brings people back to life, he restores them. The damage goes. The addiction, the sin, all of the shame, it can go. He can bring healing and restoration to every single part of your life. There is nothing that you've ever done that Jesus Christ can't take away. If you let Jesus in, he can do a resurrection miracle. Without Jesus, we are all dead in our sin and blind to it. Going through life for the sake of ourselves and not even realizing the desperate, dire situation that we're in. Without Jesus, we live a life that carries out the desires of the flesh and the body and the passions of the body. And we live a life for the sake of ourselves and for pleasure. The Bible describes us in that position as children of wrath, ready for judgment, cut off from God and alone. Let me tell you, I don't want to minimize the severity of the situation that you are in if you don't have a life surrendered to Jesus. It can't get any worse. That's why the Bible describes you as dead. It's as bad as it can get. But God, through Christ, is offering you a lifeline. He's reaching out, and he is willing to raise you up to life and raise you so far up, right from the pit, that you can be seated in heavenly places with Christ. That's a long way up. That is a bigger change as you could ever hope for. He doesn't just give you life, but he gives you life in abundance. The greatest of lives, the fullest of lives, so that he might show to you the immeasurable riches of his grace. The Bible tells me that the same power that raised Christ from the grave lives in me. And you, and in everyone who follows him. We have been given life, and we have been given a powerful connection to the giver of life. He has a future in store for you that you can't even imagine. The Bible tells us we'll reign with him. We'll reign with him when he returns. I can't picture what that looks like. I can't. I can try and think about it, and then my head hurts. I don't know what that's going to look like, but I tell you what, it's going to be amazing. And he is offering that same life to each and every person who's listening now. The question is, are you willing to take up the offer? See, this resurrection, this offer of life, demands something from you. It's available to all of us, but it demands a response. When Jesus raised both Lazarus and Jairus' daughter, he asked them both to do something. He didn't just walk in the room and they got up. For the resurrection in both of those cases to happen, the dead person had to respond. And it is no different for you. To Lazarus, he said, "Come forth." To the little girl, he said, "Arise from your sleep and live." And he's saying that to you this morning. Come forth out of that smelly tomb that your life now is. Wake up. Live. You know, I think both Jairus' daughter and Lazarus had an option. They could have not got up. If they didn't respond, nothing would have happened. And for you, if you don't respond to the offer, if you don't respond to the call, this miracle doesn't happen. You know, if Jesus rose from the dead, and incidentally, he did, it proves that there's life after death. It also proves that there's a God. Because only God could do that. It also proves that when Jesus said he was the only way to God, he was right. The gospel is not about bad people becoming good people, but dead people getting raised to life. I was once dead, and now I'm alive. This Resurrection Sunday, you could embrace life by embracing him. Do not fear, only believe. And he's calling us now. Can we just bow our heads and pray for a moment? Ephesians 5:14 says this, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And really, that's my prayer for all of us. If there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus, my prayer for you is this: awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And I want to just give an opportunity. Let's every head bowed. The offer's there, but Jesus is looking for a response. Jesus is saying, wake up, O sleeper, and rise from the dead. If anybody wants to respond to that offer, if anybody wants to say, Jesus, I need you to save me. I need to come alive. I'm going to ask you to do something very simple. Every head's bowed, so no one's looking apart from me. Just raise your hand. If you want to say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. Just raise your hand now where you are.